Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and today's message, Praying for a Miracle. The Encouraging Word. In these next few moments, we'll be opening God's Word together to talk about the power of prayer and the ability to stretch ourselves beyond perhaps the prayers that we're praying right now. Praying for a miracle is a powerful message. We'll be going to John 2 as we study God's Word with Dr. Don Wilton. And while we study this message, let us be about the business of praying for you. We would love to pray with you. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. Take a minute, jot it down, store it in your cell. That's 866-899-9673, or you'll find that number and other ways to connect with us on our website at theencouragingword.org. As we study about praying for a miracle, let's pray for a miracle together. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
So I want you to listen very carefully to something that I'm going to say to each one of us today from God's Word. This is God's encouraging Word. And I just believe in my heart that you're going to be deeply blessed and that God is going to speak to you and provide for you something that only God can do. Now, if I'm going to say to you today, before we open the Bible, what do you suppose there is that relates to our lives as people that only God can do? We cannot do it. And most of you are going to say to me, well, it seems pretty obvious that's our salvation. Yes, 100%. Only God can save you and me because He's God. Just think about that. Only God can provide us with forgiveness because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not die but should have eternal life. So you're quite correct. If today you would say back to me, I know the one thing that only God can do is give us salvation. Forgive us of our sin, write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. But as it pertains to those of us who know and love Him, I'm going to just make an assumption right now that you've given your heart to Jesus. And if I make that assumption today, have in fact you given your heart to Jesus. If you haven't given your life to Christ, my friend, I'm going to ask you to give your heart to Jesus today. Right now, right where you are, open your heart to Him. Ask Him to come into your life. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that you, my friend, will be saved. I've done that. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus many years ago. So I'm a believer. I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And just like you, I'm living this life. So what is there about this life that I'm living that only God can do? Here it is. You ready? A miracle. You got it. I'm going to speak to you today on praying for a miracle. I want you to open your Bibles with me to John's Gospel and chapter 2. John chapter 2. Very important that you see this in the Bible with me. This is a place called Cana in Galilee. Now, I've been there many times. As most of you know, every year I lead whoever wants to go with me to the beautiful land of Israel. In fact, this year I'm going to lead my, I think, 30th or 31st trip over there to Israel. And every year we go to Cana of Galilee. It's really a beautiful town. It sits up on a hill. It really is looking down over the Sea of Galilee. So if you can picture this beautiful sea, the Sea of Galilee, and around the Sea of Galilee, Jesus did so much there. He went back to his hometown of Capernaum. Remember, he was born and raised in Nazareth. And wasn't born in Nazareth, he was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth. And Cana is not too far from the town of Nazareth, where Jesus grew up as a boy. So one can only imagine that the Lord Jesus was fully acquainted with the people, with the vibe, with the culture, with those that moved around, the merchants. Now, back in Jesus' day, Cana was obviously a village, but it was a village filled with people. Now, I want you to see these people, because something extraordinary happened at Cana. So every year when we go there, we always take our people and we celebrate marriage, we renew vows, but most of all, we think about the first miracle that Jesus ever performed, and that was right there at this wedding feast at Cana of Galilee. Let's read this. It's a remarkable story, and I want to begin in John chapter 2 and verse 1. Bible says that on the third day there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Always interesting when mom shows up, right? Jesus was also invited to the wedding along with his disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "Son, Jesus, they have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? For my hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever Jesus tells you to do." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And so Jesus said to them in verse 8, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it, and when the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs that Jesus did at Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Let's just pray together for a minute. Lord Jesus, right now, for just a minute, I want to pray for someone who needs a miracle. And Father, today you're going to speak to us through the power of your word and by your spirit. And I'm going to pray right now that the power of the living God would come down upon us, that you would inhabit your word, which never returns void. Because someone right now needs a miracle, something that only you can do. I'm praying for that person, and I'm praying right now that you're going to do your work. And we're going to try to understand what this means. In Jesus' name, amen. Praying for a miracle.
Such a powerful message from Dr. Don Wilton. That's what you're listening to if you've just tuned in. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And this message, Praying for a Miracle, will be right back in just a moment. Please don't go away. But I just want to pause for a minute. Not because I want to, but because Dr. Don insists, I remind you, we're here for you. It's one thing to talk about, to preach about praying for a miracle. It's another thing to be praying for it. And we do that every moment of every day. We're taking calls right now at 866-899-WORD. Now, I know we text and we type, and perhaps a conversation's not what you think you need, but I believe it could be exactly what you need. a friend praying with you and for you at 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you. And before we dive back into the message, another unique thought from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Hello, my friends. I want to personally speak to you for just a moment today from my heart to yours. You know, when I think about all the resources and offers that we provide here at the Encouraging Word, I'm reminded of the awesome responsibility to ensure information is not only biblically sound, but that we have the availability of resources for the future concerning the huge needs that are out there. Now, whether the resources are books, DVDs, CDs, the Daily Encouraging Word, Bible Guide, or the Bible itself, I am committed by the grace of God to ensure it. I believe that if we stand together, we can accomplish much for Him. So I just want to say to you that to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence and to do the work that God has called me to do. Please call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and request this resource.
That number is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Praying for a miracle. Well, I've told you a little bit about Galilee, this region. Really a beautiful region. I wish some of you could come with me. Maybe you can. Sign up. Need to do it. It's a wonderful experience, life-changing. I think it's important for us to see the place, to understand what was going on. This was a hive of activity. Even today, I mean, you go there today and it's like there are just people everywhere, walking up and down lots of little markets and shops. And of course, today there are motor cars and buses driving and people hustling and bustling back and forth. One can just imagine in Jesus' day, all the donkeys and the mules, people running around, selling their produce, interacting. I bet there were a couple of boys who had their eyes on a couple of girls. There was dating, there was everything, but there were a group of people there. And they were gathered together for a very good reason. There was a wedding. And what was very typical in those days was that weddings they would do, not unlike we do today, they would have a feast and they would provide the best. And so I want you to see this context. And in the middle of this, we find Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Do you know in every mall in America, Jesus is there? Do you know that at every bedside, in every hospital, Jesus is there? Did you know in every nursing home, every circumstance, every heartache, every need, every pain, your pain, my inability, the cry of our hearts, somebody please help me. And boy, do we have help. I personally know wonderful doctors, medical personnel. Our hospitals are magnificent. I'm going to tell you what the world tells us. Let's do it. People are looking today for a cure to cancer. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I read just recently that evidently in New Mexico they've been working on a cure for Alzheimer's. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? If someone would find a cure to cancer, cure to Alzheimer's. Someone recently said they believe they're going to be able to find a cure for the AIDS epidemic and the scourge which is in our world. These things are wonderful, but when you put Jesus in the middle of everything, miracles happen. I'm going to say to you, my beloved friends, that God is wanting to do something for you and in you and through you that only God can do. And that's what we're going to find here in this incredible encounter that the Lord Jesus had with these people. So I'm going to point out a number of things to you in God's Word here. Really two very important things about miracles. And I believe that God is going to speak to your heart. Number one, only God can grant miracles. Only God can do that. A miracle is something only Jesus can do. Now you can analyze this in any way you want to. Here at Cana of Galilee, they ran out of wine. Get this, Jesus took water and he turned it into wine. Man can't do that. When last I checked, I don't even think we could do that today with all our modern technology, let alone in the time of the Lord Jesus. I think facts are facts. You cannot by any means. There's no pill, there's no tablet, there's no shot. There's no chemical mixture that you can apply to H2O to turn it into wine. But Jesus did. That's your life, isn't it? God can use anything that you possibly can imagine, and he does. I personally, not too long ago, had to have hernia surgery. Can you believe that? A man of my caliber. Stomach hernia, not uncommon with a lot of men. And there it was, the bump. And eventually the bump started bumping too much. And one bump turned into two, turned into three, and eventually my doctor said to me, you've got to have surgery. I went to one of the most gifted doctors, most wonderful Christian men I've ever met, and put me in surgery. And he prayed with me before I went, and he prayed with me when I came back around after a four-hour surgery. And they fixed me. And look at me today. I'm up and around, full of nonsense, enjoying life. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we can do. But I'm going to tell you that there are some things that I'm not quite sure God will ever let go by, that he doesn't want us to know that only he can do it. Right now in that category, I'll use an illustration, cancer. I remember the numbers of times in my life and ministry that I've had friends who've been diagnosed with cancers of all kinds. They're devastating. I know people who've received really end-of-life statements. They've been told, short of a miracle, you've only got a year to live. You only have 6 months. Let me tell you what happened here, folks. This was the end of the line at this wedding feast. This was the most joyful time. This was the time of maximum expectations. This was when people really stood up and mattered. And the cream of the crop were invited to this wedding, including Jesus and his mother. Can you imagine the wedding list? And then can you imagine the embarrassment of the father, of the groom? Can you imagine? Can you imagine running out of wine? It was horrific. And there was nothing they could do. They couldn't even run outside and pick some grapes and crush them or squeeze them into a bottle and give them someone. They were at the end of the rope, but Jesus was there. And he was able to do something that none of them could do for themselves. What's the most significant thing about the miracle and about praying for miracles? It's about Jesus. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Does he live in your heart and in your life? Do you know that you know that you know that you belong to him? Without Jesus in your life, you cannot anticipate nor expect nor receive a miracle that only God can do. I pray that you've given your heart to Jesus. But I want to submit to you furthermore that miracles have many purposes. They really do. We've got to understand this in our study. Because next week I'm going to unpack this even further as we meet together in worship. Miracles have a divine purpose. God doesn't just do what God does just because he has no purpose in mind. Why does God answer our prayer? Why can we pray for a miracle, expect a miracle, and receive a miracle? Why? What do we need to know from what happened with the Lord Jesus here in Cana of Galilee? Well, first of all, miracles demonstrate God's power. They are the very means by which we see God all-powerful. You know that great word that we use, God is sovereign. It means he's king, he's ruler. There is none greater than he is. You cannot go higher than God. That's why he even said to us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I alone am the Lord your God. To Moses, he was sending him to King Pharaoh, to the greatest earthly ruler. And by definition, said to him, Moses, you go to Pharaoh. And Moses said, but Lord, who do I say sent me? To which God said, you just tell this man who thinks so highly of himself that he thinks he's king and Lord, that I am who I am. I am the Lord your God. And miracles are a demonstration of God's power. Miracles are also designed to glorify God's name, to lift high the name of Jesus. That's our sole purpose in life, is to worship him. When you pray for a miracle, don't forget that. This is why he will do for you what you ask him to do, because he's the only one who can do it. Miracles demonstrate God's power and they glorify God's name, but they also illustrate man's dependence. Remember that a miracle is something that only God can do. Now, what does that mean? It means that men and women are totally dependent on God. You cannot do it yourself. These folks here ran out of wine. What were they going to do? Carry the shame? Bear the pain? Deal with all the gossip? Never recover? I'm not even going to begin to go to where the bride would be, let alone the parents of the bride. What would they say about this man that she was marrying, that her parents couldn't even provide wine for their guests? What kind of husband is this? But Jesus was there. The servants couldn't do it. The father of the groom's pocketbook couldn't do it. His bank balance couldn't do it. His influence couldn't do it. His social acceptance couldn't do it. His political position couldn't do it. His magnificence couldn't do it. But Jesus did. Oh yes, these miracles have a purpose. They illustrate man's dependence and they strengthen man's faith. We find that replete in this story and then right throughout the scriptures, don't we? Isn't it a wonderful thing when you see God do what God does and what it does for our faith? It just rejuvenates us, doesn't it? Gives us strength, nurture, builds us up. causes us to stand up straight. These miracles of God, oh man, they just infiltrate us. Guess what God has done for me? Guess what God has done for you? It just fortifies my resolve to serve Him and to love Him. But I think furthermore that God's purpose bears witness to the world. Out there, people are watching. So I'm going to ask you a question. How many people do you suppose were at this wedding that didn't know this Jesus? Huh? You ever been to a wedding? Still true to this day. You ever been to a church service? Anyone like to suggest to me that everybody in church knows Jesus? No, you don't. You know, my favorite little phrase is, just because you're born in a garage doesn't make you a motor car. There were people there at that wedding feast, they didn't know Jesus. Of course, many of them would have heard Him. There were scoffers there, doubters, skeptics, downright critics, people who were after Him. And look what He did. What did this miracle do? It bore witness to this world. But very importantly, it blessed those who received it. That's what happened. They received new wine. So there it is, my friend. You praying for your miracle? Would you bow your heads with me today? Every head bowed. Lord Jesus, right now, there are people giving their hearts to Jesus because You are the miracle maker. And it begins with our salvation. And having trusted You, You are always there in the middle of our banquet feasts. And Lord, right now You see every heart and every life. And Father, I'm praying together with brothers and sisters everywhere for a miracle. Lord, someone right now needs You to do Your work in their life. Please, Lord Jesus, turn their water into wine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And we stand ready to pray with you in the next step of that miracle together. We're here at 866-899-WORD, 24 hours a day. That number will always route through to one of us ready to talk, to listen, to pray, to connect you with resources here at The Encouraging Word that will help you grow. That number is 866-899-9673. And you'll find that number and a number of ways to connect, including Dr. Don's social media, which is a wonderful way to kind of get connected, or sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. Such a blessing. It's easy to do on our website at theencouragingword.org, or just by texting the word DAILY to 30500. That's DAILY to 30500, or all the details online at theencouragingword.org.